part three on God's will. How many of you know you can't outrun his will for your life? I tried it. Didn't work. I was told by a deacon that I have a call on my life, so I thought I was going to do the right thing and just run from California to here and ran smacked into it. You can't outrun God's will. You can't hide from it. He's the ultimate hide-and-seek finder. I say he's never lost. If you got your Bibles, open up to Jonah. Most of you know this story and about Jonah and how the Lord wanted him to speak to the city of Nineveh because of their transgressions and stuff. But we're going to pick up in verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter, but it's just going to be this chapter because we already know the outcome of it and what happened. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against them because I have seen how wicked his people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Jonah didn't waste any time thinking about what the Lord had told him to do. He just got up and went the opposite direction. This is what I want you to do. Nope, I am trying to hear it. I'm gone. So the story gets interesting quick. He ran the opposite direction. You know that God is everywhere. He knows everything. And I believe that Jonah knew that, but he still tried to run anyway. You can't run from him. You can't hide from God. Adam and Eve tried that in the garden as well. They hid. Where are you? Verse 4 says, but the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Now look how much God had control over the ship. He sent a storm basically to just, it seemed like they were getting ready to be shipwrecked or what have you. It was going to be like the ship was getting ready to disintegrate, but he just controlled it enough to cause some disturbance in their life. If he wanted to break the ship, he would have done it already. These guys were so afraid that began to pray to their own worthless gods because their gods couldn't do anything. Kind of reminds me of Elijah and the 850 false prophets of Baal. And they're over here trying to dance and sing and do all this other stuff and trying to get their gods to actually move and do something. And Elijah's like, he was just clowning them, man. Maybe he's asleep. You might want to shout louder. Elijah knew he was serving the one true God. Jonah knows he was serving the one true God. So here they are throwing everything overboard and trying to lighten the load. And the captain went down to find Jonah as he's sleeping. Why are you asleep, man? Get up. What's going on? Is this your fault? What's going on? This man is sleeping in the middle of the storm and he didn't care if he died. Jonah didn't care. He would rather die than actually do what God had told him to do. You know, God's will is not always going to be in sync with our will. So no matter how much we want to have something to happen in our lives, his will precede ours. And rightfully so, we serve him. Some of you may be running away from what he's told you to do. Kind of like Jonah. Yeah, you may be here on Sunday morning. You may be giving. But you know the Lord has told you to do something, and the thing is, you're not doing it. You don't have to run. You don't have to, I don't understand why this is going on in my life. I said, sometimes if you just get back into obedience, and just do what he last told you to do, it'll work out. Regardless of the outcome. If it's according to his will, the outcome is going to be good for you and for him. Because if you are trying to fight God, here's the thing. Here's a little secret. You're not going to win. Because God has never lost. He's never lost a battle. Verse 7, it says, then the crew cast Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do it?" they had groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked, "What should we do to you to stop the storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Have you ever been in a storm where it was your fault? "I don't know why God is doing it." It could be your fault. That's not God doing that. That could be our own faults. And then again, here's the thing. We live in a fallen world. Jesus said we will have trouble. Sometimes storms do come. Sometimes storms come to kind of test you, to get your faith right back in line with God. There's some spiritual development right there, maturity. That's an opportunity to grow in your faith in God. Casting lots was a practice that people used to try and decide what was the divine will of that matter. If you can think back at, you know, the apostles when Judas had taken his own life and hung himself, they cast lots between Barnabas and Matthias on which one would be the next one of the 12. They cast lots. And in today's time, it's basically probably drawing straws. The Message version says drawing straws, and other people may say flipping a coin or something like that. Rock, paper, scissors. But they prayed about it, and then they cast lots to see which disciple. Now, some people believe that Jesus' choice was Paul in that, because as we learned last week, he was his chosen instrument to go preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. But they cast lots. So God never condoned it or never condemned it. So they ended up casting lots and it fell on Jonah. So apparently it must have worked, right? Jonah tells him, "Throw him into the sea and it will become calm again." Again, you throwing somebody into the sea, automatically, if you're a swimmer, you're going to want to try to float. Start swimming. Ah, Jonah was like an anchor. fall into the depths of the sea. He didn't care. He would rather die, give up his life, than to actually do God's will and go speak to the city of Nineveh and tell them to repent. And we know the story because, I'm going to just jump ahead a little bit. Jonah says, "You know, you're a great and merciful God. They did these great transgressions in front of you, in your temple. They did all these things to come against you. Now, you want me to go and preach so that they would repent? Nah, they need to burn in hell." It's just my words. Nah, but God is a gracious God. And I'll refer back to the scripture in 2 Peter 3:9, where he is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. He wants us all repenting, turning from that. If we are getting to the place, I said, to where we think we know it all, we need to watch out because there's probably another storm coming. It's to get us out of our comfort zone, which helps lead to our spiritual growth. In verse 13, it says here, "Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ships to the land." You have verse 13 on there? "But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it." Jonah told them what to do, but they didn't want to do it because they knew it was his God, so they didn't want to hurt their servant, God's servant. So they just kept on rowing. They just kept on going, but it wasn't enough. He says, "But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh, Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailor picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. So even in the midst of this, God had people turning to him to serve him while he was going after Jonah, while he was trying to get Jonah to do what he's told him to do. And they vowed to serve him. You don't have to get to the place of Jonah for God to display his power in your life. You don't have to do what God, what Jonah had done in order for God's power to be displayed in your life. You don't have to get into the disobedience for a great fish to come up and a great huge storm to come up for God to display his power in your life. You can just be obedient. How about that? You can just believe. You can just speak what his word says and believe that it's going to come to pass, and you would be able to see the power of God operating in your life. You don't have to run away in the opposite direction as Jonah did. Okay? Now the Lord had arranged the next scripture. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. He didn't even try to swim. Swallowed him up. Now, some people believe, I've heard over the years, some people believe that this story of Jonah and the whale is not true. There is no possible way. There is no fish like that. You realize, what is the percentage of the sea that's been explored? It's a low number, isn't it? There are so many creatures in the sea that people don't even know what's going on, and they're saying there's no way. But with God, there's always a way. And that could be the generic answer, but I got a little deeper one. No other God can do that. God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. And here's the thing. Jesus even uses this story to validate what he was going to do. Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. But the religious leaders thought he was talking about the building, but what Jesus was really talking about was his body. In Matthew 12:38, it says, one day some teachers of the religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority. But Jesus replied, only an evil, adulterous generation will demand a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. If the story of Jonah never happened, what Jesus did never happened. He uses the story of Jonah to validate what he was going to do. So do you believe now? God knows what he's doing. He knows very well what he's doing. Following God's will is not always going to be the easy answer. There may be jobs that the Lord may tell you to leave. There may be people that the Lord may have told you to cut out of your life. There may be places that the Lord may have told you to go. There may be situations where you don't have an answer for, but God does, because he knows what his will is for you. The best way to find out his will for your life is through prayer. Sit down, humble yourself, and get quiet, and just pray. You talk, and then you listen, and then you listen, and then you listen until you hear something. Hear. And you say, yes, sir. I want to do your will for my life. If it is just, hey, I just want you. As the Lord told me one time when I was praying, I was walking through the halls. I had my Fitbit on, and I upgraded to an Apple Watch, thanks to my family. And I was like, so I need 250 steps to win this hour. Get up and win. Because you sit at the computer all day studying, what have you. Get up and move. So if I walk, get up and walk down to the end of this hallway, all the way to the other one and come back to my office, 250 steps. So I started doing that. But sometimes when I do that, I'm praying in the spirit. And I remember saying, Lord, I just want to impact people's lives. And he said, you're going to have to get outside these walls in order to do it. Because I thought about it for a second. I got up today, showered, came to work, went home for lunch. Nobody there, just me. And came back out here, and it's about 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. I didn't see anyone. But driving nuts. How am I going to impact people's lives when I'm not communicating with them? Okay. So the next morning, wakes me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He says, when you go and get your energy drink, when you go to serve, so I get an energy drink, feed you apple. And sometimes when they're out, I make sure they know they're out. I did that the other day. He goes, I'll have some on your doorstep. And then sure enough, my wife said, Russ came and brought four energy drinks on you and put it on your doorstep. I said, all right, now we got it. Let's get it. But he says, what I want you to do, I just want you to start saying hi to people first. Because being introverted, I always waited for somebody to say hi to me. And he says, start saying hi to people. Okay, I'll do that. So when I was doing that, people were opening up. Just, how's your day going? Oh, it's going great. I had this and this. And I said, wow. I didn't even have to say much. They were just opening up to me. I didn't have to probe them for information. They was just opening up. I was like, okay, I see that. And then they start talking about their problems that they got. Cool. How am I going to impact people's lives if I don't communicate with them? Okay? It's prayer. The Lord will show you. First of all, we have to lay aside our will, because if you don't, you may try and sneak that into your prayer life and try to say, you know, maybe God wants me to do this, but really isn't. I said, do his will. Try to get his will going. Lay aside yours because he may be like, okay, now you can do that thing. You may not be ready for that now, but here, if you do this first, now we can pick up on this. And that's part of trusting in him. That's part of putting your faith in him. And that's part of understanding his will for your life. I said, your faith accesses the grace of God. If you had a locker code or what have you, and grace is there, you punch in that code, boom, 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 doesn't work. Wait a minute, I know I got the right code. Doesn't work. Put in a key, doesn't turn. What's going on? You're not in faith. It's a free gift. It's there for you. You don't have to pay for it. Jesus already paid it all. But how come I can't access his healing? How come I can't access his grace? How come I can't access his peace or what have you in my life? You're not in faith. And faith works by? No, not this. I wanted to hear y'all say faith works by? No. Y'all missing it. Love. Faith works by love. Faith comes by. Come on now. Now y'all got it. Faith works by love. So if our love walk ain't on point, our faith isn't going to work. We can't access the grace of God. Prayers aren't going to be answered. Simple as that. But God, I'm punching in the code. It's not the right code. We can go around fooling everybody else all we want all day long with a smile on our face, a mask on, what have you. But we can't fool God. If we can't access his grace, you got to get back in prayer and say, Lord, where am I missing it? Don't blame him. We got to ask him, where am I missing it? Sometimes we want to hold on to being right in our own eyes, but if you put the key in the lock and it won't turn, then it must be the wrong key. If you put the combination in, then it must be the wrong combination. You can't fake it. You can't fake faith, and you can't fake love. You want to see extraordinary things happen in your life? Get your love walk on track. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me in fifth grade. Got to let it go. You got to let it go. And you got to, here's the thing, even when you let it go and you forgive, forgiveness does not always necessarily mean reconciliation. You don't have to go and be best friends with that person now. Because you forgive. You can forgive from the heart. Ping. Other people want you to go out and show it. No, you don't have to do that. Ding. God knows it. He knows that. You don't have to chase that person down. God knows it. If you can't access the grace of God, what Jesus has freely given you, then clearly we are not in faith, because faith works by love. And here's the thing, and love works no ill towards their neighbor. So let's just say we got section A here, section B. Let's just say you're all believers. No, you are believers, right? People said, Jesus says, and this is how they'll know you are my disciples, your love for one another. It isn't a one-way street. And most people teach on a one-way street. It's if they are doing ill to you, you got to walk in love, you got to forgive, you got to, you know, keep your faith, what have you. You got to do. It doesn't matter what they do to you. Then they only address this side, never this side. I like to address both sides. Hey, you, y'all need to learn to walk in love because love works no ill towards their neighbor. And Jesus says, this is how they'll know you are my disciples, your love for one another. So it is how you treat them, not just how they respond to your treatment. I deal with both. Behavior modification, nah. He deals with it all. But we only want to address this side. Yes, it doesn't matter what they do to you. You keep yourself in love. You bless those that curse you. But if you're a disciple of Jesus and you say you are, why are you cursing them? Amen or oh me? I love it. Why? Because now that hinders your prayers. Well, they got to walk in love with me. Yeah, they do, but you have to walk in love with them. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have conflict. But at the end of the day, was it all worth it just to be right in your own eyes? We're supposed to be right in his eyes. We're supposed to put his goggles on. What Jonah had done or didn't want to do was difficult. Well, Ananias last week, what he did, very difficult. He didn't want to do that. Lord, you know his reputation. You know Paul's or Saul's reputation. It precedes him. I might get thrown in jail. Lord, these people may repent if you want me to go and preach. Well, yeah, that's kind of what I want them to do. It is not always an easy decision to make. It never is. When the Lord is having you to do something, he's not going to have you go on easy street. Where's that off of? Annie? Easy street. Come on. I had to make one of the most difficult decisions in my life. And I had to end a relationship. I don't know for how long. But it was mostly delayed obedience. And most people know delayed obedience is just disobedience. That's what ended me in the hospital. When I got out, I had to have that confrontation. I didn't want to do it. I had to do it. So when I told them, when I confronted them, I was going to confront him on everything, but I knew just the first few things he wasn't going to give. Act like he didn't know what I was talking about. Okay, cool. But at the end, I told him, you're forgiven, but this relationship is over with. And he immediately tried to say, well, you're offended. I said, I'm not offended. Just like this, I'm not offended. I've been praying about this for a long time. Now, see, some people would say, well, he was over here judging me. I don't do that. I don't fear man's judgment. I don't fear man, and I don't fear man's judgment because man's judgment, honestly, is only for a season. Unless they're caught up on some stuff, and then they just judge you for the rest of their life. But God's judgment is eternal. That's what we should fear. So I told him, I said, thank you. I said, and I even told him, I thanked him for everything that he had done in my life and for this community and stuff. But you know what? After people can say what they want to say, I said, but, you know, within 2 weeks, my health went from here to here. And I literally, when I was laying on the couch, I literally felt the medication leave my body. Was I wrong for that? No, I had to be obedient. I didn't want to do it. It was a hard decision, but it had to be done. Are you ever going to get back? I don't know. But I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to rush it. I'm just going to stay obedient to my Heavenly Father. So whatever story you're hearing out there, I said, I have to stay obedient. So your Pastor Tim is obedient to the Heavenly Father. Amen. So this is why I love God so much, that is no matter how we can cover up and pretend that we may love someone, he will know whether or not we're in love. And I'm not saying that a strong dislike crept into my heart. I never said that I hated the person. Never did. I said I just dislike what he stands for. People say you can't judge it. Well, you can judge the fruit. And I don't try to judge anybody else's fruit until they try to come up into my life and judge me. But it's how you walk in love, Tim. I said, yeah, but if we're both disciples, it's how you are trying to work ill. I'm not trying to work ill in people's lives. My family, no, I'm the peacemaker out of all my brothers. And if something gets under my skin, then somebody must have really done something. But even to this point, you still got to walk in love on both sides. Ephesians 1:11 says this, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of his will, who works all things according to the counsel of his will." God works all things according to his counsel. He's on your team. God is on your team. If you play sports, I said, imagine the Chiefs today. They play at 2, right? Imagine the Chiefs today, the offensive line, because they went and bet on themselves, right? They do a little sports betting. Hey, we're going to bet that we're going to lose, and we're going to bet a grip. You know, it's a whole lot easier to give up than it is to actually win. Well, we're not even going to, no pass protection for Mahomes. I don't care what kind of Christmas gift you gave us. No passing protection today, because we got a lot of money riding on this. When you have somebody turn on your own team, I never took a shot in a game and my teammate tried to come block my shot. They made the pass. They're wanting it to get open. They're wanting me to hit the shot. This is why we're saying, you got to love one another. I'm not trying to be a stumbling block for Richard. I want Richard to succeed. I want to help him. I want to be there for him. Just don't call me about cars. Because I don't know diddly squat. I'm not trying to keep somebody from stumbling. Neither did Jesus. You know, when he gave that authority to the 12, even Judas was in the mix. When he gave them that authority to go out and preach the gospel and heal and cleanse the leper, he gave him authority over all the serpents and scorpions. They came back with a good report. He wasn't the one trying to stop them from doing it. Why? We're on the same team. If you are a born-again believer, you put your faith in Jesus, why are you trying to compete against one another? And your competition is Satan. We're literally trying to compete and destroy one another behind the scenes. And our biggest competition is Satan. That's why we dominate. That's a whole nother level. Domination helps everybody to win. Because we're all running our race. And we all want that prize, that crown. We got to help each other, not tear down. The kingdom of God builds up, it doesn't tear down. Unless there's strongholds in your life. And we do that with the word of God, not by subtle attacks here and there. Amen? Come on. God's will and purpose will always contrast with yours at times, but if you lay aside your will for his, he will never, ever disappoint in your life. So what is he actually saying to you right now? What is this? What is there that needs to be laid down, laid aside? You've been pursuing something, and I'm not saying anything demonic. Just it could be just something that you set a goal or what have you. I said, what are you pursuing that you just basically put him on a back burner? Now I'm gonna ask you, can you lay that aside to find his will for your life? Because if you're struggling to find his will, it's because you've been doing everything yourself for the majority of it. If you're having a hard time, I guarantee you, it's your effort, not his. We're supposed to rest. See, honestly, he did kind of make it easy. You know, if God didn't want us, and I talked about the best life, last week, I said, but if God didn't want us to win and succeed, he wouldn't have given us his word. He wouldn't have given us authority, his power. He wouldn't have reconciled us back to the Father. Because no matter what happens in our life, even if we don't have any other thing, we have that. We have a personal relationship with him. You win, regardless of it. So he does want that to happen for you in your life. Satan comes to steal, kill, destroy. He doesn't want you to have your best life. The Lord does. But it starts with a relationship with him. Amen. But Father God, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for all you've done. We thank you, Lord, that we can fully yield ourselves to your will, Lord. And if anyone's having a hard time doing that, just help them along the way. Send somebody across their path to just speak life into them, to speak life. Lord, it's not about getting what we want. It's about doing what you want us to do. It's not just to be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. And Father, if there's anyone here, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, we just speak healing in their bodies right now, Lord. We thank you for peace of mind. Any type of mental disorder, any type of disorder, Father God, we put that back in order in the name of Jesus. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can stand to your feet. Hallelujah. You got a word, Denise?
I know why I was so excited to come today. You gave me a word.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, go out to at least two people, someone that you never rarely, ever rarely talk to, and just tell them God loves you. Better yet, just tell them what the Lord has put on your heart. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.